Easter's a great time of year, but it's also a very busy time of year with Easter baskets, Easter egg hunts, Easter bonnets. Is there many Easter bonnets, Easter parades, Easter gatherings? I heard one woman say, "The only reason I still participate in Easter is because my family eggs me on." And while Easter doesn't take the cake, it does take the cake coloring. But remembering that this is a religious holiday, Easter shows that Jesus thought levity was good for the soul. And I actually believe, or maybe it was levitation, I actually think that Jesus would have said something like that, that levity is good for the soul. I think he wanted us to lighten up. He wanted us to wake up. Really, that was the whole thrust of his teachings and his ministry. Wake up, people. Wake up. You have the power of God within you. You have nothing to fear. With God, all things are possible. You're the light of the world. The kingdom of heaven is at hand. It is the Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. It's his way of saying, wake up, get this. Nothing is getting in the way of your happiness but your consciousness. And so we learn a great deal from Jesus and the way he lived his life. And we also learn from the way he died. So on this Easter Sunday, let's take a moment to recap what is said to have happened on that day nearly 2,000 years ago. And this is from the Gospel of Mark, the first of the canonical Gospels to be written about 40 or so years after Jesus' death. When the Sabbath was over, Mary Magdalene, Mary, the mother of James, and Salome bought spices so that they might go to anoint Jesus' body. Very early on the first day of the week, just after sunrise, they were on their way to the tomb and they asked each other, "Who will roll the stone away from the entrance to the tomb?" But when they looked up, they saw that the stone, which was very large, had been rolled away. As they entered the tomb, they saw a young man dressed in a white robe sitting on the right side, and they were alarmed. "Don't be alarmed," he said. "You are looking for Jesus the Nazarene, who was crucified. He has risen. See the place where they laid him? But go tell his disciples and Peter, he is going ahead of you into Galilee. There you will see him just as he told you." Trembling and bewildered, the women went out and fled from the tomb. They said nothing to anyone because they were afraid. That is actually where Mark originally ended. That was the end of the story. But later, more lines and passages were added to speak about Jesus reappearing to his disciples, to Mary Magdalene, and to others. But for our purposes, we'll focus on the basic story. Well, as with anything in the Bible, we can choose whether we take it literally or whether we interpret it metaphysically. Metaphysically simply means symbolically or metaphorically. And that's what we do in Unity. We interpret the Bible metaphysically. So we set aside the whole question of whether these events actually happened, and instead look at what did they mean. We know that a story needn't be factually accurate in order to be profoundly true. So if you think for a moment, some of Jesus' greatest lessons were told in the parables. Well, those parables, those stories may or may not have happened, but it didn't matter because the underlying meaning was there, and it was a meaning that could guide us in living better lives. So if we come at the Easter stories from a metaphysical standpoint, what is the lesson? Well, first of all, we do look at Easter stories, not just Easter, the resurrection, because actually the crucifixion and the resurrection are like two parts of one story. They go together. One without the other would be incomplete. And so if we look at both of these stories, we can see them as representing the path of transformation, that in order to grow spiritually, we must let go of our old ideas, our old way of being, and rise into a new perspective, a new way of being. And so the crucifixion and resurrection of Jesus were the mega examples, the ultimate example of a process that occurs throughout our lives. It's a process of dying and rising, of release and rebirth, of letting go of the old in order to step into the new. And John chapter 12, verse 24 says that unless a grain of wheat falls into the earth and dies, it cannot bear fruit. Unless that letting go occurs first, the new cannot blossom forth. Nevertheless, that release can be a very difficult process. Letting go of a loved one or a close relationship, of a job or a career, letting go of our old way of thinking about things, or even letting go of who we thought or think we are, can be terribly painful. It can actually feel like our own crucifixion, a different level, a different degree, but it can definitely feel that way. We're being put to the ultimate test. I would guess that many, if not most of us in this room, have at some time in our lives faced a devastating loss or change that felt like the world was coming to an end. And in a way, it felt like a dying. It is a process, this time of letting go, in these sorts of pinnacle times, hardship. It can be a time of tremendous physical, mental, and/or emotional pain. And we may have that sense of death. Well, I've experienced this in my own life, going back to my late 30s, after I went through my divorce. I had a 5-year-old daughter and an 8-year-old son. And after that divorce, I plunged into the deepest depression of my life. I did indeed feel like all was lost, that my world was coming to an end, and it felt like a death. In a lot of ways, it was a death. It was the death of my marriage. It was the death of the dreams that I'd had for my family, the death of the idea of how I would be, what my life would be like, who I was, and what was coming next. It was like everything familiar just disappeared. And so, to use the imagery of Easter, for me, in that time, it was like being in a tomb. Anybody ever experienced something like that? It's like being in a very dark place, and I felt alone and even immobilized. I had wonderful friends and counselors, people supporting me, but nevertheless, the light just wasn't coming in. There was nothing I could do to make that light come in. I was so consumed by my grief and my sorrow and my guilt and my pain and my fear that the stone would not roll away. If you ever in your life have been in this kind of a dark place, you know that it can seem endless, can seem like this is never going to lift. It may actually seem like you're in a very stagnant place, like nothing is happening. But in fact, something very big is happening. What is happening is that inside you are undergoing a transformation. You are beginning, even on a cellular level, to release what you no longer want and to step into what you do want. You're letting go of the old, you're dying to the old, and you're rising into the new. That time can seem like forever, and it's very important that we let the process work. If we decide to abandon it and go look for some kind of crutch or something to get us through it, the chances are very high that before long we'll go through the entire cycle again and we'll be right back in that dark place. So we stay with the process, and we can think of it like this. It's like our own kind of metamorphosis. I mean, think of the humble little caterpillar, bless his little heart, burrowing down into his little cocoon, and you know, we think we have it bad. This little guy, I mean, really, all his little caterpillar cells just melt into this goo. And then it all reforms into the cells of a butterfly. It's amazing. And so life as a caterpillar is ending, but life as a butterfly is beginning. And so it is with us as we undergo our transformation. You know, the fact is that it takes as long as it takes. Jesus was only in the tomb for 3 days, but it usually takes us a little bit longer. It takes longer to grieve, to release, to nurture ourselves, to even just adjust to a new order of things. Our world has been shaken up. So we need that time. We need to be our own best friend in that time. And this is when we do our most critical spiritual work. It may be that we need to go very deep within to find our strength and our clarity and our courage to indeed find our truth. And so down, down, down we go until we arrive at the ultimate saving grace, the realization that our true identity is God within us, the great I am, the great untouchable essence of our being. We realize that we are spiritual beings having a human experience, and that all that happens on this outer realm may be taken away from us. But one thing is never, never able to be taken away from us, and that is the presence, the eternal presence of God or Spirit as the truth of our being. And we realize that after all else passes away, that that continues on. And as we come to this realization that we are eternal beings and there is nothing to fear, the stone is rolled away. Not even just rolled away, it just kind of disappears. And the light of a new day begins to shine in through the darkness. Well, that's certainly what happened for me. After months and even years of processing and moving along through this recovery, I suddenly began to feel a lightness, just the slightest bit of lifting in me. Felt like a shift in my consciousness. One day I noticed that I had begun laughing again, that my energy had come back, and I was ready to greet the world. And after many years of fairly disastrous online dating, I met Richard. And the angels sang. And what I realized and what I so deeply appreciate, having come through that sort of crucifixion and then resurrection experience, is that after the pain and the loss, there is joy. There is rebirth. There's a new way of seeing all of life and seeing who you most truly are. And this, I believe, is the greatest lesson of Easter, which is that after it appeared that all was lost and that injustice would prevail, by golly, there was another whole unfolding and an even greater, a greater awakening, a greater realization happening. You know, if we were to look at the Easter stories, I believe they tell us, don't be fooled by appearances. There's more to this story than you know. That is always true in our lives as well. There is always more to the story than we know. After today's deep sorrow, we may have the greatest joy of our life. It could happen today. Turning a corner could happen in a conversation. We just never know. You know, they say, I think this came from a movie, everything is all right in the end. And if it isn't all right, it isn't the end. It isn't the end. I have truly come to cherish this sense of faith that has grown in me, that it all comes around right. It all comes around right in the end. That really it does. That there is a certain beauty and divine order unfolding. That justice does prevail. That love does win. That our truest self shines through. You know, people who've had near-death experiences confirm this very thing from their view of life on the other side. They say that in that realm, it all makes sense. You look at life and you see, oh yes, all the pieces fit together. And where before maybe they could only see little bits of the picture, now the whole picture has come clear. And has actually given me tremendous solace in the loss of my mother in November to just really have a deep sense that everything came around right, just as it should. And the wonderful neuroscientist and author Eben Alexander in his book Proof of Heaven, he says that in this other realm, it is more real than real, more real than real. It makes our life here seem like a dream. And he says that when he was in that place, he was given a very clear and unmistakable message to bring back to us. That you are loved and cherished. There is nothing to fear. That, I believe, is the underlying message of Easter. You are loved and cherished. There is nothing to fear. These passing circumstances are passing. And I do believe at the end of our lives, we look back on it and we see our life as this beautiful tapestry. And each thread in it is our experiences, some of our hard-earned lessons, some of our greatest joys. And we see the beautiful oneness of it all. And we believe that it could have been no other way. You know, it was the Apostle Paul who said, "Be transformed by the renewing of your mind." And it was Jesus who showed us how. It was Jesus who essentially said to us, change your consciousness, change your life. Allow God, allow Spirit to work through you and rise up into your new beginning. So on this Easter, as you think about the resurrection of Jesus, I invite you to think about the resurrections that you have experienced in your own life, and how they've led you to a greater spiritual awareness. Look at where you are now. Look at the insights that you have gleaned. Look at the love that you feel and the love that you have shared and will share. And appreciate your crucifixions as well, for they allowed you to let go of what no longer served you and freed you to move on. And then look ahead with great hope and optimism to the unbounded possibilities ahead of you. As you look out at every blossoming branch, even the rain falling today, the birds singing, think of it as the universe calling you and saying to you, yes, yes, be ye transformed. This is why we are here. On this topic of rising up, it always amazes me the resilience of the human spirit. And so I'd like to share a brief video that I think, if anything, epitomizes what it is like to go through deep pain and loss and rise up stronger than ever in your truth. It would be this. This is from Brussels Square 2 days ago. Thank you. turn now to our time of meditation. I invite you to close your eyes if that's comfortable for you and breathe in deeply. And then release and let go. As you do, one more time, a deep breath in. And as you release, let go of anything that is not love, anything that is not peace. Allow your soul to be soothed in this sacred time. Breathe in to the truth at the very core of your being, the sacred energy of the Christ in you, this beautiful presence of the divine that is who you truly are. I invite you to allow this to be your touchstone, your safe harbor, your place of inner peace. It is where you turn for light in the darkness, for hope, for grace. I invite you to breathe into the very center of your being and allow the love of God to wash over you. And listen for what is yours to hear in the silence. On this Easter Sunday, we give thanks for this divine cycle of dying and rising, of letting go and being lifted up. We appreciate the pattern in our lives to this point and how far we've come, and we look ahead with great energy and sureness and faith. We call it all good, and we serve it up for the glory of God. And so it is, and so we let it be. Amen.